Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for software developers, testers, and all guys from software engineering who wants to make great software. My name is Richie. I'm a software quality coach, keynote speaker, author, and podcaster. My guest today is Julia Piskova. She's co-founder of the data startup Alpha Affinity and helped in the past startups to grow and to scale. She drives forward-thinking discussions on agile practices, remote work, and emerging technologies. And we talk today about informal networks and how important they are for software development and software testing. We talked about how these spontaneous connections can improve team collaboration, trust, and effectiveness, especially if you are in a remote or in a hybrid environment. As you know, I think testers are very big connectors in the software engineering processes and project, and to focus on informal networks is a great part of our daily job as testers and dev people in the communication and collaboration. So now enjoy the episode. And one tip from my side. As testers, we can quickly calculate how much a test costs. But the more exciting question is, how much do we actually save when defects don't reach the customer in the first place? For wind turbine manufacturer Vestas, this involves a lot of money. If their wind turbines come to a standstill, penalties are immediately due. Florian Wartenberg is responsible for the testing processes there and used precisely this argument to convince his management to make more and important investments into testing. He will tell you how he did this on January 28, together with Fabian from CQSE. Join for free at tul.fm/test. The details and the link you find also in the show notes. And now enjoy the episode. Hi, Julia. Nice to have you at the show.
Hi, Richie. Really nice being here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, it's great because you have a very interesting topic. It's one of the episodes for the this year OOP conference in Munich because I cannot unfortunately be on site this year, so we do the recording remote. But I checked the speaker list and the agenda of the tracks, and then I found your topic, which is about informal networks of communication in the companies. And then I get the big ears and said, oh, that's very, very interesting. I want to talk about this topic because mainly from the quality perspective, from the testing software development perspective, we need a lot of communication and a lot of informal communication. So it's a good to have this topic on the plate now. Yes, just to begin, just tell us to get into the stuff. What are informal networks? What are you talking about there?
Okay. I will answer with a question, if I may.
Yeah,
sure. Start with a question. So how would you feel, if you're assigned to work with someone, B, when you choose to work with someone?
Mm-hmm.
C?
Yeah, B, when I choose it, it's much better and much more likely for me.
Right, and you are not unique here.
Yeah,
it's our human nature. That's how our intrinsic motivation, in particular, works, and that's nothing we can actually influence a lot. We can rationalize that, but as soon as we have a more favorable environment for us to communicate with people, to work with people. The higher the chances are that we enjoy it, and as a result, that we are doing a very good job. Because, you know, as far as I know, testers are not these people at the factories who are just, you know, doing the routine work, but they're responsible for quality, and that is very complex, and that involves communication with other people. Yeah, so informal networks, it's something that exists in parallel to our formal structures that we can see. at the org chat. And as soon as something really happens to you that draws your attention, you go to someone at your team. And very often, that's not your, you know, teammate. Yeah, or not all teammates you can go to. And that's exactly the difference that is made.
And when you say, how do they get formed, this I think this unconsciousness, how do the networks get formed in a team or in a with my people surrounding me?
That's a very good question, and I think here we can look at it from two perspectives. The first perspective is our feeling, how we observe it, because anytime we get to some team, we get to some group of people, we become a part, of that informal network, and that also influences our behavior. On the other hand, we can also learn it from more rational aspect and read a lot of cool scientific books and see how it's done in practice. I can probably also give an example here. So the very first time when I started looking at the issue with awareness happened when I was onboarding my very good friend to a startup we were working. It was a very small startup at the time, but we already had some like other departments, that we didn't work that much. And my friend was a junior developer, but I knew that he's very good at organization because he organized some cool trips and events, and I knew he can go, he can be well with the people. And instead of a typical like super, supporting this person, I will help you, I will introduce you here, I will, like something that feels very right to me, at least, I decided to give him much more freedom. And I connected him. It was something like, we haven't talked to people. We haven't worked with people from the newly formed HR department. Go and talk to them, see what they're doing, maybe shadow them and see how we can do this stuff. And he came back and it was very effective, despite, he was a junior and he himself didn't know that much yet about the product team. So, after that, I realized that this informal network is really decisive, because then this friend of mine, he initiated a lot of other activities with the people he got to know, and was a very different level of effectiveness, of involvement. And after that, we started paying more attention to the, so it's not just something that exists in parallel and lives in its organic life. I went for a coffee with Rich. I know he's an interesting guy, so I'll talk to him. Maybe we'll then do something together. But it's something that we can influence and we can create environments, more like from not very closed facilitation format, but a more open one, like a hackathon, for example. Yeah, where people can explore and have opportunities to get this informal connections with other people.
Agree. What do you think is the importance of these informal networks, even in a normal company? So, because a company always wants to structure the things, wants to have their procedures, who communicates with whom. But how much is it really important to have this informal network? Or so does it work without it? Everyone works for his own. Or what is your opinion there?
It's a great question. And the answer is tightly connected with, you know, this awesome time we are living in when everything changes all the time.
Yeah. See it every day.
So this is the best test for resilience of companies, how fast their organization can adapt to the new demand, to the new environment. Here, it's hard to rely on formal networks. First of all, because how do you define formal networks in advance? You don't know what would happen. Yeah, so how can you optimize them? And second of all, formal networks don't involve enough trust. And when something bad happens, yeah, like when something is really like, oh my God, what can I do? You have some kind of insecurity and you need to have this trust to be able to talk to other people. And you need to have even more trust and proximity with other people to take actions, do something new, risk. Yeah, because adapting, being resilient also involves risks. It's something new. I cannot know, is it going to be, you know, a successful thing or not? But when you have these people together with you and you can rely on them and you trust them, then you're more actionable. And then it's also less stress for the organization to, okay, our formal structures have to be perfect. Like, but does that guy talk to that guy? Oh my God, they don't talk to each other. Changing the graph, changing the graph. Yeah. No, retract the weapon. So, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yes, yes. I think what you said is very interesting. So that it's to work with people, to work with other colleagues, it's mainly a part of trust. And what I heard is that the informal networks, they support this trust. Stronger this level of trust to other people so that we can work good together. And I think a procedure or a process done by a company cannot push this trust into people. Yeah.
Some people believe they can, but in practice, we can see that we can say, yeah, of course we trust. Not something we can influence.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are dealing with this topic. What do you think has changed in the last years when all people now go to the home office and some are there, some are not, some drink coffee together, some not? What has changed and what is maybe what can we do maybe if it's this informal network is not so good at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of what we can do, I guess people will still be able to go to the OOP. There's going to be a lot of things that I will describe. But jokes aside. So in my opinion, the remote and hybrid mode have revealed a lot of existing problems. According to my observation, if in the company this culture was already there, they were also adapting easier to the remote. Again, because they had trust. So if I get on a call with a developer and I trust them and they say that they don't feel very good, turn on camera, who cares, right? But if we come and don't have trust, someone is off camera, how do we feel? Not very nice, right? Yeah. Yeah, so remote does scale the existing problems. Mm-hmm. And there also have to be more other tools that can compensate the unplanned interactions. Yeah, like this famous water cooler. For me, it was more like coffee machine kind of place. Doesn't matter. Oh, in Germany, I think it's a lot about beer points. Yeah, something like that. When you don't have that, you then have to compensate, and you need to find the ways to involve people, find something interesting for them. Mm. That wouldn't be also, you know, this forced coffee talk. Mm. Oh my God, I'm at the computer for 8 hours and now I'm going to this coffee talk. Mm. But remote also has a lot of advantages. First of all, very often easier to break the silos between different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remote makes us even. Doesn't matter if I'm from Munich or from, I don't know, Berlin. Doesn't matter, or another country. I can get together and I'm in the even. So as I cannot have the beer points apparently in Munich, I cannot have this additional opportunities to interact with people, and the Berlin maybe like more coffee people, yeah, they also don't have their coffee, and you can kind of mix, and then you can do the gatherings. Yeah, when you are more like, okay, it doesn't matter what the location, you get the people together, they work on the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also make events like my favorite hackathons, mm-hmm. where you know, have the borders, but then people self-organize around these topics, and they can also collaborate with someone for the first time and have their cat nearby and pet them at the same time. Yeah, it was pretty impossible before. And yeah, there are a lot of things you can do. Mm-hmm. They depend on the company setup as well. Yeah.
I think it's very difficult for in the remote location, or if the people are remote located, when they come together, not to force them into a structure for mm-hmm. now be happy together and join together and have a party, and all they all sit there and they want to do their job and not to talk now. And I think you need a good feeling for how mm-hmm. can you put some events, these events into the culture of the company. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good point. And that is why I think you cannot rely exclusively on this meetings, although I believe they are important. I don't think you can compensate them. But you should also do stuff as you work remotely.
Mm.
Create these opportunities, show there should be a culture, you know, when it's cool to work together with other departments and come up with some new initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And not the culture where like, have you seen that tester coming along? You can't imagine how many bugs they report for me. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you understand our business.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think it's a very clear message I'm trying to get across. Mm.
You mentioned in your abstract that the product development can take a big benefit from this informal networks in a company. What's behind that? What do you mean with mm-hmm. that?
So again, a lot to tell, but I will choose some examples. Mm-hmm. My favorite one is the product discovery. So some time ago, it was really rather something for a product manager or owner to do, to communicate with the clients, you know, take, what do they really want, review the analytics, and so on and so forth. And nowadays, we have this cool trend when you involve people from different areas into that activities. Mm-hmm. Of course, it doesn't mean that all the development team goes to talk to a new client, no? But there can be different things, reviewing metrics together, reviewing like how the user is interacting with your website, you know, this tracking videos, actually interacting with clients or users at some product review initiative. So there can be lots of things, and it depends on the product itself, what makes sense. But the idea is to have people that are really good with like technically.
Mm.
Yeah? And people who have this product perspective, maybe for some other products, there would be some other areas. But the idea, you have people with different background at the same time learning about the feedback from the users and brainstorming how it can be done. And then when that people get back to their teams, they have a very good image in their head and they're aligned with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can also add there, again, our favorite newcomers. A newcomer come. They are unbiased. They don't have the history about your product. They can ask very open, you know, this perfect, unbiased coaching questions.
Mm.
Yeah, because they don't know. And you can also benefit from it.
Mm.
So I think really these trends go together, this modern product discovery, cross-functional product development, working with the feedback from the users. And by feedback from the users, I mean in a very broad perspective, not what they exactly say at the user interview, but how they are actually dealing with a product.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a very interesting part where before we talked about the trust thing. So if different people from different departments come together and work for a client and do a brainstorming, there is a trust building in there for them. And so if they go back to their departments, they know, oh, I knew something from marketing and now from UX design and then from all the other departments who. Part of this discovery. So then I have a relationship with them, and there is this beginning of trust with them. And it's not just a number. There are people there, and I can interact with them, and it helps me. And I think if I repeated some things, I get some of these networks in my company there. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then you can also scale them by, you know, someone has a challenge. You can talk to that person. Very nice person. I worked with them on this and this.
Mm.
Yeah, and it goes even further.
Mm. How can we motivate people who are very introvert or very to do their work for their own and want to get don't want to communicate much? How can we motivate and dare not to push them into this structure, but to help them a little bit to make some of these networks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when we are talking about people who are more introverted in their behavior at the company, yeah, at the work, at the work environment, they may have much fewer tight relationships, but they can be of higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even sure, you know, I don't think that, I think you can also talk to a person and ask questions like, how do you feel? And then, what can I support you with? How, you know, to make it easier for that people, of course. But I wouldn't strive for, okay, everyone at our company needs to have four relationships like with this department and with this. Yeah, people are different. And maybe giving people space and trust in them, as soon as we create this environment, which is favorable for that. Yeah, when it is rewarded, giving people this freedom, I think, and trusting them that they will do that relationships as soon as they, you know, come to the hackathon or come to some beer party at the gathering, they will go as it's comfortable for them. And we'll do our best as a team. Yeah, us by creating this environment, maybe supporting these people, being interested in what activities, talking to them, and then just letting them go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we design spaces, we invite them and trust them that they will come if we have something they like, and not to force them into their with their yearly objectives now to make form relationships in the company. Okay, I understand. You gave us some examples how we can promote this informal networks with the hackathon or with this product discoverer. Do you have another example what we can do to force this informal networks to bring it more in our culture?
What is one of the first steps, as for me, is what's called alignment. Mm-hmm. When you openly talk with people, okay, what is a perfect teamwork for you? How would it look? Mm-hmm. What is this way of communication that works for you, and what is hard for you? How do you think we should be at these situations when some challenges come and we have to handle them? And then you can give examples, because for a lot of, especially when we talk to technical people, you ask this question, they're like, huh? What? Again, this fluffy stuff that doesn't talk to me. Examples help, and real ones. So I'm now not making it up. So I'm coming from a very, very direct culture where it's okay to say in imperative when you are asking for something. Mm-hmm. Please do that for me. I think in German you can also do that. In English, God forbid. Yeah, I had problems with people who were writing, oh, you have some problems with communications. They are pushing someone. So yeah, I'm coming from the direct culture. And when I work with people from Great Britain in particular, I always mention that, because despite the fact that I know, I'm aware of that thing, and I'm doing my best to adjust, it's still something on the level of my reflexes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can give a very direct feedback that for them would be super rude. And if I tell them in advance, like, hey, that's what can happen, when that happens, mm-hmm. they can react. Then we can even discuss how do we do that. And vice versa, when they talk to me, it can be too vague to me, because they are packing it with a lot of nice words. And then you're like, oh, is it a positive feedback or a negative feedback? what should I do? Mm. If you align on that things in advance, it helps. Mm. And then when you give examples, and I usually give like super concrete examples, if it, you know, like different cultures, or I already noticed that people have some individual preferences, I'm trying to provide examples that are easily understood for them, and experimenting with these different open questions, and also always say directly, if it sounds too fluffy, you don't like it, tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will now work on that so it makes sense for you, because if it doesn't make sense to you, then we are wasting our time here. So this exercise really helps when you start with mm-hmm. people, when you have new people in the team, when you have new environment as well. Yeah, so, hey, we used to work like that. Now we will work like that. Well, where do you think can be misunderstanding? How do you see that? And then you already move to this actual doing stuff and don't have to talk that much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the alignment is another example from what I would say we can often do on our team levels. Mm-hmm. Unlike some big things like organizational structure, actually still should enable this informal networks, mm-hmm. and it should be easy to text someone, easy to understand who works on what, and like all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that is harder to influence. the teamwork is easier.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah. So what came to my mind now when you talked about it is what I like when I go to a new team is to talk about the pink elephant in the room, because often when I come to a team, they don't want the change I bring with me. I know that. And now I can do a fancy workshop with a lot of glitter and unicorn stuff and so on. But they would think about me like I'm not really here in the real world. So, but to talk about that, so that I know that they think about that in this way, so that can build the first part of trust to get in a good communication, to get in an open communication about what we are planning to do here.
Yeah. You know, when you were saying that, I realized we don't have that culture, and by we, I mean the world, or maybe even further, business world. It's not so cool to do something in a group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still have this I kind of culture. And at OOP, by the way, it's cool to see that, oh, we like when you have two facilitators. But we still have that I culture. And I think if it was more normalized that, hey, when you come to the team, work with someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you choose someone who has a good reputation in the team. Mm-hmm. You prepare this workshop. You compare awesome rainbows and everything that you have, with the language of that team.
Yeah.
And then it's much easier. Mm-hmm. Probably we should do it more when we invite new people, not like given the tasks, but more pairing or what is called this entangled triangle, mm-hmm. when you have even like three people with very different experience. Yeah, but of course, for the workshop, that would be a little bit of an overkill.
Yeah, just try it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Julia, thank you very much for this insights and for your thoughts about this topic. And I think it's a new perspective maybe on the thing of culture and of the informal networks and how to promote them in the company and how to give them more awareness in the teams and for the people for leaders to think about that. So mm-hmm. thank you very much for being here on the show, and I wish you today now when we record the session, the OOP is in the future, maybe. It will be released afterwards, but I wish you a very, very nice OOP. It would be a great come together there with other people, and you will enjoy it. I think so. And see you soon, hopefully in real life, and have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. It was my pleasure. Also have the best time. I've heard you have even better plans for
the time. I think so. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.